way, just because he's a very outspoken and opinionated guy. Some people see him as a bit arrogant. I would not say he's the most reviled person.
Right. No. That's fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough.
I think there was an article that was written in a newspaper a while ago where he kind of reveled in being called the most hated man in Scrabble, but I think that was just a little bit of a exaggeration on his part to the reporter.
Yeah, well, one of the things we're confronting in this case is the difference in interpretation and perspective that can come thanks to exaggeration. So that's right. That's an interesting point. So yeah, not the most reviled, certainly has some enemies, certainly is not universally well liked, but you know, and I've dug into this enough to be able to say something like he's no Sam Kay.
Yeah, okay. You know that name.
Go ahead. Oh yeah. No, I've been thoroughly versed over the last couple of weeks here, and as a you know, complete amateur player myself, it's been fascinating to sort of get to know some of the politics and the personalities involved. It's I read Word Freak, but I had no idea. So
they could write another version of that.
Yes, like, yes. Set of characters. I could imagine. Yeah. So why don't you just as a preface to further questions? I'll run through my other just yes no. Let's get these out of the way. Questions first. Have you ever witnessed Dave be disruptive at a Scrabble event?
Disruptive at a Scrabble event? No, I don't believe I have.
Have you ever witnessed Dave engage in violence towards another person?
No.
Have you ever witnessed Dave make threats of violence towards another person?
Oh, I'm sorry. My girlfriend is here. She might have some information as well. Do you mind if I put it on speaker and
not at all
during the conversation?
No, that's totally fine. And what's her name?
Her name is Shelley Stevens.
Shelley, okay. Yes.
Let me just put it on speaker here.
Hi, Shelley.
Okay. You hear us okay?
Yep, I think I can hear you both fine.
Okay. And what was that last question?
The last question was, have you ever witnessed Dave make threats of violence towards another person?
I have never witnessed that, no.
No.
Okay. Have you ever witnessed...
Actually, I'm going to back up on that.
That's fine.
There was one Facebook post a few years back where he threatened violence against someone, but it was sort of a cartoonish, over-the-top threat, which I didn't think was serious.
Oh, yeah. I thought he meant in person.
Yeah, but in person, no.
Only online.
Yep. Yeah. So, and you're talking about the Daryl Day episode.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. And you were aware of that, and you recognized it as, I'm forgetting your exact words,
over the top,
rhetorical, not a serious threat to actually do the things that were stated or really anything physically violent.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Yes, right. Some of which are impossible, but yes.
Well,
I'm glad you're aware of that. I think most people involved in this are, and you know, that's one of the things that they are trying to use to demonstrate, I think, a sort of pattern of behavior or some degree to which he was an actual threat. And like you, I see that, and I, you know, unfortunately we see that sort of stuff every day on Facebook and social media, and given no other, you know, reason to think so, it's clearly just someone spewing vile.
From my own perspective, everything that I have heard about Dave doing or saying or being threatening or what have you is pretty much hearsay. Just from friends of friends, you know, hearing, oh, this is what Dave did now, this is what Dave did now kind of thing. But I never witnessed it myself personally. Mm-hmm.
And when you refer to things you might have heard, you know, through the grapevine or from friends, are those things that people in general, were they things people heard him say in person, or were they like the Daryl Day stuff, were they online posts or rants?
It's mostly like what went down with like Lola. There was, you know, previously a girl before. Like I read Dave's whole thing and didn't really agree with the fact that he posted it online, but like I understood where he was coming from. It's like I could see his side as well as their side and see how things could be misconstrued and how, you know, things just, when people are heated, things get said and things get out of hand. Mm-hmm. I've never personally felt threatened by Dave or seen him act out personally, just hearing, just have heard from other people these kinds of stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Can you both each maybe individually just give me a brief sense of how long you've known Dave, and over the course of that relationship, what your general impression of his personality and demeanor are?
Sure. I met Dave probably back in 2005 or 2006. That's pretty much when I met everybody in the Scrabble community.
Mm-hmm.
I've hung out with him on several occasions. He stayed at my house one time. I think that he is a little narcissistic, maybe a little full of himself, but he also can be like friendly and fun to be around. I think Dave is kind of an acquired taste. I've seen him be kind of snobby and elitist to other people, like in the Scrabble community. But again, from my perspective personally, I've never had a problem with him myself.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I probably would have met him around 2003, 2004, which is when I started playing Scrabble. And I think he had started just a year or two before me, so we were sort of intermediate level players climbing the ranks at the same time, and we played each other a lot in those early years. I've seen him less frequently since he moved, obviously, to the West Coast. But he's always struck me as perfectly nice in person. Mm-hmm. He can be the type of person who likes to dominate a conversation, but is generally fun to hang around with. I think he's one of these guys that his online personality is very different from his in-person personality.
Hmm.
He comes off a little harsher online than he does in person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And then kind of the same background information related to Evans and Jennifer, how long you've known them and how close or not close your relationship has been over that time.
I'm not sure when I met Evans. I only met Jennifer once, and that was at a New Year's dinner. I don't really have much of an opinion because I don't know them that well. I've hung out with Evans a few times, and I find him to be aloof and kind of goofy and, yeah, nice enough. I never had a problem with either of them either. I don't really know them that well. I would say I know Dave better than I know them.
Okay.
Yeah, I met Evans, say, probably about 15 years ago or so, whenever he started playing. It would have been, I guess, 2007, 2008, somewhere around there. I probably know him better than Shelley does, just because we tend to be expert players in the same division. I've always had pleasant interactions with him. I've had him over to my house, with other groups of people a couple of times back when he lived in the Boston area. Always struck me as a very nice guy. Jennifer, I don't know very well. I've always kind of just known her as Dave's girlfriend and then later Evan's girlfriend and then wife. I've only interacted with her in person a handful of times at tournaments. We had a few brief exchanges when we were both on the advisory board for NASPA, which were always very cordial and fine. I don't know her all that well.
Okay. Have you in the time that you've known them personally heard from them or overheard them discussing anything that would be disparaging to Dave, any expression of wanting him to be removed from the Scrabble community? And I'm talking about prior to a year ago, wanting to exclude him from tournaments, etc., or just saying things.
I've never heard any of that firsthand. No,
okay. Me neither.
Although I don't
really know them.
With them out in Portland here in New York, I rarely interact with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never heard them say anything along those lines.
Okay. You've hinted at this a little bit. What were your reactions when Dave posted his blog, his lengthy two-part blog post? How aware were you of the events that were discussed there prior to that, or the relationships? And then how was your opinion changed, if it was at all?
I was completely unaware, and so I thought it was really, like, uncalled for. I thought it was just airing a lot of dirty laundry. You know, I felt bad for Dave because I figured from the way he was portraying it, it sounded, it read to me like he was sort of a heartbroken guy who was just trying to get closure, but the way he went about it, I don't think was really great because he was kind of like forcing himself on her, it seems, and she was basically, it seems to me like she had at some point along the way made it clear that she wanted nothing to do with him. I was surprised because I hadn't ever heard anything about them trying to exclude him from tournaments. So to me personally, this was all kind of like, whoa, what is going on here? And it made me cringe. I just was like, oh, Dave, this is just, it's not something I personally would have done, but I could certainly sympathize with why he might have done it. But yeah, I think it was a bad idea, mm-hmm. ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I had already been somewhat aware of most of the content of that beforehand. My then wife and I were with Dave at a tournament in Edinburgh, Scotland, probably about a year before he published that, and the three of us went out to dinner, and he kind of poured his heart out about all this stuff, which to me at that time was very shocking. I had not heard any of this beforehand. I thought it was very surprising. He mentioned at the time that he was working on putting it all down in words and he wanted to tell his side of the story. And then after he got it all together, I was one of a handful of people he asked to kind of pre-read it ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
and give my perspective on things. So and, you know, that obviously included a lot more detail that he had gone into over that dinner,
mm-hmm.
Which, again, I found a lot of it was completely new to me at the time and pretty surprising. My advice to him at the time, my advice to him at the time was don't publish this. You're going to piss a lot of people off. You're going to burn a lot of bridges. I think it's very cathartic that you were able to put it down in words, but maybe just
leave it at that,
maybe share it with a very small group of people, but it's probably not a great idea to publish this widely.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't listen to you. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Yeah. But...
Stefan, Dave has referred to, and I think I've seen, although I don't have it in front of me, at least some of the content of a text conversation that the two of you had in September of last year, I think as the incident report was under discussion. Can you speak to that at all and what your recollection of that is?
I'm not...
You have to probably read in the text message, right?
I mean, I remember there was one brief exchange we had after the advisory board had met and made a decision, but hadn't yet written it up. And he was expecting a decision on X day and he didn't get it. So he texted me and said, hey, what's up? And I said, well, you know, I don't want to say too much until it's all written up, but yes, we've made a decision. Yes, there's going to be a suspension. And he came back with, well, how come that's different from what I heard from somebody else? And I said,
what
you heard? And I didn't get a response to that. I don't know what other conversations there were. I don't recall any off the top of my head, but you could probably jog my memory.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me right now, and I ought to. There's also, he has also referred to what he says is the last time that the two of you spoke, which was when he was in Mexico City. I think that was last year, right? Yeah. And I was wondering if you had any specific recollections of that conversation.
And he was where? In
Mexico City.
In Mexico City?
Yeah.
If he was talking about speaking in person, that must have been someone else.
No, it was a telephone call.
Okay. Let's see. When was that? Let me try to remember that call.
Would have been in, I think, April or early May, late April, early May of last year.
Honestly, I don't really recall that phone call.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
just following up on them. I've gone through voluminous documents that he's provided, and I'm just trying to follow up on every specific reference I see. So if it was not noteworthy to you to the extent that you don't remember it, then that is perfectly fine. What has been your perspective on the COCO organization coming into being in terms of its purpose and relationship to the broader Scrabble community and NASPA and to Dave?
Oh, boy.
Sorry. That's a lot,
my
maybe.
My impression, and I think a lot of people's other impression, was that it came, like, the main event that inspired its starting was NASPA's failure to act on the Sam Kay situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. When we, as an advisory board, discussed it and declined to add any further penalty to him in light of his sexual misconduct.
Which made a lot of people angry.
Jennifer Clinchy was on the advisory board at that point, and she resigned in protest.
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, I don't know exactly how shortly, but Jennifer and Evans announced they were starting this other organization. It may not have been the only factor, but it read to me a lot like, we're unhappy with what happened with Sam Kay, and we're going to form an organization where we can be harsher with him and any other future bad actors as we see.
Yeah, that's the same understanding I had as well, because, you know, as a woman in the Scrabble community, pretty much most of us were not very happy that he's been allowed to resume play after mm-hmm. his behavior. He was, I don't know if you're aware of that situation, but he was accused of a lot of sexual misconduct, and we just didn't think that he should come back. Plus, he was caught cheating. That's my understanding of how COCO originated as well.
I know Dave, in his manifesto there, I think he referred to COCO as, with a name, Cliquish and Dickish.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
That's kind of funny.
I do agree with his perspective in the very early days of their founding, that it did seem very cliquish, that they were like, oh, we're going to have these tournaments open to everyone.
Except Dave.
Yeah.
But we're going to kind of find a way to reserve it for just the people we want to have there.
Yeah, they seem to not be doing that anymore. Like, I think that was at the beginning, and, like, now they're you know, running tournaments, and they've paired up with the other Scrabble organization, and they're coming, like, they're holding a national here practically in our backyard next month. I feel like it's more inclusive now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it could have just been the perception, because when they first started it was a small group of them just starting it, so obviously all of those friends who were getting together and doing this were a little clique, because they were all friends.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was in the early days. They were having small events, so they would say, okay, we're going to run a tournament, but we only have capacity for 12 people.
Yeah.
Here we are announcing the tournament, and sorry, it's already full.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So
there was definitely a perception that I agree with, that they were a little bit cliquish in the early years.
Yeah.
I agree with Shelley that that's less the case now.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a couple observations that prompts from me. One, which it had not occurred to me before, is that does it seem interesting that they've become less cliquish now that Dave has been banned? Or do you think that's just coincidental?
I don't think that one had anything to do with the other. I think it's just that the organization has grown and more people have joined on as far as directors go and are holding tournaments in other parts of the country. I didn't really put two and two together. Like, I don't feel personally like one has anything to do with the other. We would have to wait and see what happens after Dave's suspension is lifted in order to see if it went back to the other way. But I would be surprised if it did. Like I said, my impression was that it was like that because it was just getting started. And like Stefan said, okay, well, we're starting this thing. We're going to hold this tournament. We can only have 12 people. And, you know, we already know the 12 people who are coming because they pretty much all live around here and that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, and this is a little bit more for my curiosity, since I've reminded Dave a couple of times, the court cannot force NASPA to let him back in, but so we're trying to steer a little bit clear of getting too deep into the tournament rules and appropriateness of process within the NASPA appeal process. But one thing that he's mentioned is that he feels pretty certain that when Jennifer and Evans were organizing tournaments under the NASPA banner before COCO, that they broke the rules of how one organizes a tournament by inviting people privately, filling up the spots, and only then announcing it to the public.
I think there were a couple events that it turned out that way. I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention because there were tournaments out west and I couldn't have gone to them anyway, so I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention, but it did seem like they had a couple of events. And again, they were small. They were like, we're going to rent a house and have a tournament there, and we're limited to the number of people who can actually stay in the house. And they kind of picked and chose before they announced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't aware of any of that myself, except for when Dave mentioned it. So I have no opinion there. I can't speak to what they were thinking or what they were doing. I same thing as Stefan, like they're on the West Coast, so it's not something I would normally pay attention to because I knew I wouldn't be involved.
Yeah, yeah. I will say it's an interesting observation that most of the folks I've spoken to so far are people who aren't on the West Coast. And I feel like that speaks to some extent to how Dave's reputation has been tarnished in this geographical region, to the extent that players of y'all's caliber, I think, are not necessarily going to speak up on his behalf for one reason or another.
I think that's a reasonable assumption. Yeah. I mean, I do.
Yeah. Interesting. Just a couple of other things here as I sort of scroll through. Are you still on the advisory board, Stefan?
Sorry, what was that?
Are you still on the advisory board?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I realize I probably can't ask you about any sort of internal machinations there, but I will anyway a little bit. You can always decline to answer. Do you feel that the hearing he got in front of the advisory board was fair?
Yeah, I think so. We discussed the issue over the course of several meetings. We were basically working just from the words he had written. These are generally closed discussions, so he was not actually on the meetings to defend himself in person, so we were working from what he had written. But yeah, it was discussed at quite a bit of length, and we solicited as much information as we could. So yeah, I think he had a fair hearing.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you can't tell me sort of what the vote was or anything like that, right?
No.
Yeah.
I don't recall it anyway.
So. Well, I think NASPA may have even received a subpoena at this point, so we'll see how that goes.
I think there was a pretty unanimous sentiment that there should be some kind of suspension, and the recommendations range from like a year to lifetime, but I don't know exactly how the vote broke down exactly.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that after the fact, and I was like, lifetime? Wow. somebody on there was mad.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I thought that would have been a little bit harsh.
And was Jennifer on the advisory board at that point?
No.
Okay. Then Steve Pellinen.
No, he hasn't been on the advisory board for several years.
Okay. God, my brain just blanked on me. That's not good to admit. How does his punishment compare to Sam Kay's?
Let's see. Dave was given a 3-year ban, and Sam Kay was given 4 years, and then when further allegations came out, was given an additional year after he had already been back for a year and a half or so at that point. So he got a shorter penalty than Sam did.
Okay. Interesting.
Personally, I think Sam should have gotten a harsher ban.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly. I mean, as much as I'm coming at this from a pretty ignorant starting point, but from what I've read, in addition to the sexual misbehavior, misconduct, just the cheating. I mean, that to me would be enough right there
He was originally suspended for 2 years for that, and he appealed the decision, and on appeal it was doubled to 4 years. So he thought he had a free roll there. It did not work out very well for
him.
I mean, like, from my perspective, just my own personal opinion, I think 3 years for Dave was kind of harsh. I would have, if I were on the advisory board, I probably would have pushed for like a year, basically just kind of like a cooling off period. Like, hey, just, you know, take a break, leave these people alone, let them leave you alone, just like put it all to bed, stay away from each other, and then come back, you know?
Right. Yeah, that was my position. I was one of the voices that kind of was trying to talk them down from the lifetime ban talk. I think it probably would have been maybe longer if I had been on the board at that point.
How many members are on the board, or were on the board at that point, at least?
Actually, I'm not sure the exact. It's about a dozen or so.
Okay. So, yeah, just, I guess, you sort of hinted at it there, but I kind of wanted to wrap up just saying, you know, overall, do you feel like he has been treated fairly, and do you feel like Jennifer and Evans have been treated fairly, or perhaps more than fairly, in this process?
I think everyone's been treated fairly. I don't think there's been any grave injustices here.
No, I don't either. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so it was a good compromise sort of arrangement.
Yeah, take a break, leave each other alone, move on with your lives, let some time pass. Water under the bridge kind of situation. Let's move on, be adults, and carry on.
Yeah. I guess one last thing, especially for Stefan, one of the things that we are attempting to demonstrate is that these specific allegations that I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation were instrumental in getting the advisory board to vote to suspend him. Is it possible for you to speak to that, or is that something we might just need to go through subpoena to get minutes of the meetings?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
How relevant were the specific statements in Evans, Jennifer, and Lola's statements regarding sexual coercion, sexual harassment, and violent threats? Were, you know, compared to just other behavior that might have been, you know, private behavior that was problematic in some way, but falling short of harassment or coercion, right? I'm trying to divide, because those things that are not defamatory, to say you're a bad boyfriend, to say you have a temper, you have anger issues. The actionable stuff was, we believe he's going to shoot up a Scrabble tournament, he coerced me into sex, those sorts of things. Was there a differentiation in those deliberations?
I don't think so.
So sort of just
kind of the whole product.
Yeah, it was more of a holistic thing.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So I guess, yeah, and the bluntest way to say that is that if those statements were made, but they didn't include those specific statements, do you think he still would have been suspended? Maybe that's too speculative. I don't know, but.
Yeah. Maybe it would have been a shorter suspension, but I think you probably still would have been.
Yeah.
Okay. I think a lot of, from what I understand, I think a lot of the problem was that he put all that stuff out on the internet too, which was basically creating an uncomfortable situation for other people in the community as well. So I think it was kind of a whole package deal of like, okay, first there's this, now we have these complaints and he doesn't want to take it down, and now it's just kind of a mess, and what do? We need to just take a break.
Right. So certainly the posting of the splenetic blog was definitely a factor.
Oh, yeah. That can't have possibly helped him. Yeah.
I think that was the
catalyst.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't a good idea. I think he knows that now.
Yeah. Hindsight, you know.
Yep. All right. Well, I'll let you guys go. Just a couple potential follow-up things. One is that as this thing moves forward, I may reach out to you about an actual deposition, which would be, of course, remote and would be scheduled at your convenience, and would be a more formal scenario than this one, with, of course, the opposing side represented as well. So if that comes to pass, I'll just reach out to you through the same email I did before, and we can take that from there. The other is that I am also working with Dave. This is probably more for Shelley, because it would probably be inappropriate for Stefan, but I am working on Dave working with Dave on his appeal to the executive committee, the sort of final court of appeal in his NASPA process. And I'm trying to reach out to people who are at least somewhat sympathetic to see if they're willing to speak out on his behalf or write a statement arguing that his punishment was too severe.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, just because I have a lot of sympathy for Evans and Jen, too. I think the fact that they are saying that they were so terrorized by him, like, I don't personally feel like Dave would have done anything. I would be willing to say that, but, you know, I don't think that what he did was right, but I don't, like, judge him for it. Like, I still consider him my friend, if that makes sense. So I don't know how that would help you or if that would be something you would want me to say. But, I mean, I'd be willing to speak to that. But I would have to be honest and say, you know, I definitely disagree with what he did. And I can understand why they'd be worried. I think the whole thing just kind of got blown out of hand on both sides, honestly.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's totally fair. Well, if we get to that point, I may reach out again regarding that and we can have a further discussion on what you might be prepared to say. But that's kind of slightly on the back burner at this point, since we're on the clock with the court right now. So, I'll let you go. You can enjoy the rest of your quote unquote morning. Shelly, do you work evenings as well?
Oh, me? No, yeah. No, I'm getting ready.
Oh, I was going to say, so yeah, no, my brother has a similar thing. Like, he works mornings and his wife works evenings, and it's like they never get to see each other. I feel bad for you guys.
Yeah, we pass for a few hours.
Right. All right. Well, it was great to talk to you again. I really appreciate you taking the time and speaking out and helping me get a better overall picture of this whole situation. And as mentioned, you'll probably hear from me again.
Okay.
Actually, I have one question for you, which you might not be able to answer, but I'm just curious.
Yeah.
What is Dave's goal here? Is he looking for like a monetary compensation here, or?
Well, I mean, we're.
I mean, I guess he can't force the organizations to let him play, but I mean.
No, I think what he wants is we are seeking monetary compensation. And a typical amount for this, we're alleging defamation as well as infliction of emotional distress and interference with economic opportunity. Those two are not, you know, it's not like he was making, you know, $500,000 a year playing Scrabble, but there's some economic harm there. There's also been some emotional harm, and that equals a certain amount, but the majority of it is reputational harm and punitive damages. So we're seeking about $450,000. That gives us, you know, it's not a spoiler to say that gives us room to maneuver. Dave understands that money is not his primary motive. He does want his reputation restored.
Right.
He really wants the false things that were said to be repudiated. He also, and I'm sure you are probably aware of this, he has some resentment towards people who were once his friends in the community and have kind of bought into this dominant narrative now. Again, that's nothing the court can do anything about, but having some...
I don't think that's right. I mean, I do feel for him on that regard. It's like, it's not, I know he has mentioned before, you know, in some of his writings and stuff that it's like, that's where he garners sympathy for me, because I feel for him, because a lot of the people are just taking sides without even hearing both sides, you know? And I think if you really open your mind and you open your heart and you look at both sides realistically, you can see you can understand where each side was coming from.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm kind of a mediator at heart, so...
Well, one thing we know about the world today and the internet in particular, which is where a lot of this goes on, is that nuance doesn't really sell very well. So it's usually a pretty black and white situation for most people, unfortunately.
Exactly.
All right. Well, again, thanks very much. Any other questions from you for me?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Enjoy the rest of your day/night. And
have a good night.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.